You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Okay, welcome to Pure Nintendo's second KoopaCast podcast. We are now a weekly podcast. We decided last second. That sounds good. And we're here again with... Let's introduce yourself, starting with Alex, and what you do for Pure Nintendo or in life.
Well, my name is Alex Schrampke. I'm a writer for Pure Nintendo. I'm pretty much the jack of all trades. If something needs done, I'll do it for him. And this time my webcam works, so you can see me. I'm not a blank screen.
Nice. And I'm Justin Sharp. I run lots of things here at Pure Nintendo and the magazine. And so design, writing, all that stuff. But anyways, go Kevin.
Oh, my name's Kevin. I guess I'll just be an editor or occasionally do some video stuff on Pure Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I'm Matt. I'm the guy who goes and bothers these guys through emails every once in a while and tries to get them to do stuff.
And that's fine. We like doing things. And I'm James, and I do James things on the site. Yeah. Put it that way. I do James things. I do things. All right, I wanted to start out the podcast with one question we got from Twitter, because I thought it was a darn good question. It's about the Wii U. It comes from Harrison. He says, do you think the lack of Wii U Virtual Console for now means Nintendo could revamp the service to accommodate GameCube titles? Mm. My quick answer to that is I don't see why not, to be honest with you. If they're doing full digital titles you can download, why not GameCube titles?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Nintendo confirmed that they weren't doing GameCube games, right?
No, they haven't said anything.
Yeah, because he mentioned revamp it so that it would support GameCube, but I don't think they've ever said they weren't going to do GameCube games. But and the fact that they're doing full retail Wii U games downloadable, like you said, seems like wouldn't be that hard. You know, the biggest GameCube game was, you know, 1.5 gigs, or some GameCube games had two discs, like Resident Evil, but, you know, 3 gigs total, something like that.
But, with all they're talking about with... the external storage drive, how you can put in up to 2 terabytes out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the way that they're pushing for that, you know, this new downloadable content, I can absolutely see them coming out with, you know, just a few titles here and there just to kind of test the waters. Probably starting out with Mario Sunshine, I could see them trying that out.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario Sunshine would be great. Wind Waker, Smash Brothers Melee, Mario Kart, some of those would be really nice. That kind of, you know, brings up another question. Do you think Nintendo will opt for HD games, like HD remakes of GameCube titles?
I think there'll be a select few titles. I don't think we'll see a whole lot, but I bet within the span of the Wii U we'll see, you know, at least 3 or 4 of their biggest titles, like Sunshine or Wind Waker.
What do you guys think the price will be for GameCube games?
Yeah, that's really tricky.
Yeah.
Well, what are the price for 64 games now on the virtual console?
Is it anywhere from like 10 to 15 bucks, right? Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, 15. So I could see them going anywhere from 20 to 30 for GameCube games.
Yeah.
Definitely. I would love to see a HD remake of Wind Waker. That would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And hopefully whenever they get the Wii U Virtual Console, you're able to play those games on the Wii U tablet, you know, because there's stuff from the Wii you won't be able to do on the Wii U tablet.
Yeah, but didn't they say that the new Virtual Console stuff you could do on the tablet?
Yeah, they said it should be able to. They're working on it, so which is good, because I honestly think they need to figure out a way to be able to get your Virtual Console from the Wii or even Wii titles to play on the tablet. Like, that would be awesome if they gave a firmware in like a year or something to
enable it or something. Yeah, because you think, you know, like we were talking about yesterday, Kevin, you think at least a few of those games you should be able to play just on the gamepad. Yeah. Granted, some games that you need the, you know, the pointer for, you know, maybe a little hard to play the whole thing on the gamepad.
But stuff like Mario Kart or even the new Super Mario Brothers, that would be great.
Yeah, so hopefully a few of those will be enabled for that.
All right, so I want to try to wrap up all of our Wii U discussion from last podcast.
Yeah.
I know we gave a lot of praise to the Wii U because obviously we support Nintendo, but I know there's parts of it that we don't like about it. And so what are some negative aspects or some of your concerns for the Wii U? And we'll start with Alex.
For me, I would say, well, my first concern came when I played the Batman Arkham City demo. I think there's a lot of like complex button combinations that maybe like didn't translate quite as well to the gamepad controller. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would be a lot nicer to use the Pro controller with games like that, but I think it might be a little bit clumsy at first for us to learn those games with the complex button stuff. Or maybe it wasn't designed for that controller in mind. It might be a little bit tricky with some of the ports. Mm-hmm. That has to be like my number one concern.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
Well, I guess, you know, it's not like anything big, but just a lot of, you know, little things here and there. You know, when they put limits on, you know, not be able to play Virtual Console games from the Wii. I don't know, some of the online stuff they're doing or not doing. I just hope it all goes well, you know, because like Virtual Console support has been really lackluster on the Wii, even on the 3DS lately. So, you know, I don't know if they've learned their lesson really yet on, you know, providing Virtual Console games on a, you know, decent basis, you know, regular basis for the Wii U. You know, I just hope it's not going to be like 4 months when we start seeing some of that. So I just hope that, I don't know, the timing works out well. I mean, the games are looking great. I think for the most part, it's just how they execute it, because this first year is going to be really crucial, because if the new systems, you know, do potentially come out next holiday, you know, you want to have a good solid foothold in this first year. So
yeah, the big question is like, what's gonna be the Virtual Console we wear that digital press release that comes out every Thursday? What is that going to be the next Thursday? Like, right, is there going to be Wii U titles on it? What's going to be on there?
Yeah, and you know, and so far they haven't even announced Virtual Console of anything, you know, for the Wii U, or at least, you know, they say, hey, we're doing it, but there's no details, there's no footage of it. You know, we've just recently gotten footage of Nintendo Network, Miiverse, and how that all works. So, you know, it's like stuff's coming really down to the wire, like launch day, you know. So, and the fact that you have to do the system update on day one, you know, hopefully we don't have to wait too long for some of that stuff. Anyway, what do you think, Kevin?
I think my biggest, at least worrisome, is they're doing all these really cool ideas for online, doing all this thing, but then you look at Nintendo's first party, and there's just nothing as far as online games for it, and it's a shame that they're missing this opportunity if they're really going full on to show their online capabilities. They're letting third parties, it seems like they're letting third parties get involved in it, where they just don't have anything. Like, New Super Mario Brothers should be online. Mm-hmm. Somehow Nintendo Land should be online. It's just like, even though they keep saying it's trying to keep, what was it, Justin, the the frame rate or...
Yeah, they always like talk about the experience. They don't want to ruin the experience. I remember Miyamoto said about Pikmin 3, the reason it wouldn't have online multiplayer was, you know, in play testing, they want to make sure the experience and the frame rate is, you know, consistent.
And that could be, but then I see these other third-party games on other systems where they seem like they're pushing just as much tech, yeah, and they're running smoothly. Mm-hmm. And so it just, I don't know, it seems like Nintendo still hasn't gotten their online game development down, and that just worries me, especially for things like Smash Brothers or future Mario Kart titles.
Mm-hmm. I think the Nintendo just seems kind of anxious when dealing with this new front of internet connectivity and games, because, you know, with the Wii and with this Wii U, they're really just pushing that different direction, that broader audience, that family experience. And I mean, sometimes the internet and family don't really get along too well, so maybe they might not be hesitant to that extent. Mm-hmm. They could also be testing letting the third parties test the waters for more online interactivity before they might look into their first party titles.
But didn't they make a mistake with that already, with letting third parties lead the way with the 3DS? Because the 3DS, when it was launched, was pushed by third parties. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sell well because people were looking for that Nintendo title.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's a little different. They've got Mario and some big games that launch. But yeah, it is very similar. It seems like Nintendo's trying to get third party support by letting them, you know, create a racing game. You know, Nintendo doesn't have their own racing game at launch. Oh yeah, we'll let Sonic take that, you know, or, you know, different genres that third parties have at launch. It seems like Nintendo's kind of stepped back, and especially with like Mario Brothers U, it seems like Rayman Legends is, you know, heads and shoulders above it in terms of what the person can do using the gamepad, you know, for the gamepad with New Super Mario Bros. U, it's just making some blocks and you can link combos and get star power-ups and things, but, you know, it's pretty limited, whereas Rayman Legends is just, I mean, you can do tons of stuff if you're that person using the gamepad, so. I don't know. It'll be interesting how they adapt to it.
It could be that, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was going to move on, but go ahead.
Just real quick, it could be also that, like, with the core titles, like the Mario 2D side-scroller platforms, is they want to keep that nice, simplistic formula, and they really don't want to put the touchscreen in there too much, because that might, you know, I don't want to say scare off, but just kind of give complex looks from people who maybe not play games all the time, but just love that core Mario experience.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's, to me, Nintendo's different than like Sony and Microsoft. Sony and Microsoft can come out with something to be like, here you go, enjoy. Nintendo's more of a gaming company. They need to lead the way with their new hardware, with their games, because they're also a gaming company. Mm-hmm. Microsoft really doesn't make games. They just buy people who make games. Mm-hmm. Sony's the same way, but Nintendo's a video game making company as well. And so they need to lead the way, in my opinion, mm-hmm, and the new hardware with their games. Like, hey, this is what you can do. Take a look at it. Run with it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think Nintendo is best at knowing what their system can do. They know how to optimize it. They know how to get the most out of it. And sometimes I feel like it's not until Nintendo comes out with a game that other companies realize what they can do for it. Yeah. And so it's almost like they're taking the wait and see approach. Everyone's going the safe route and just seeing what works. And I feel like Nintendo needs to have that one title that pushes the Wii U in new directions. And I think there's not much of that for launch. I think next year there will be tons of those games.
Yeah.
But I think we're just sort of waiting and see right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other concerns did you have, Matt, on the about the Wii U?
I mean, just a little nitpicky. I like the idea of a huge storage drive, mm-hmm, you know, like that, if you can get one. But at the same time, it's not something that's like attached to the system at all. It's this outside access thing that they had to, that you have to buy, and that's not coming with the Nintendo because they only have the 8 and 32. Mm-hmm. So that was that. I am interested, though, to see what they do with the Nintendo Premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw something today that with the 8 gigs, you only have like 3 or 4 gigs of actual open space.
I think it's like 3 left.
Yeah, they said you can't hold Mario Brothers U and Nintendo Land at the same time, basically. They're both too big to fit. So that's kind of crazy. But yeah, like you said, and I think someone pointed out that you need to power the external hard drive as well. So, you know, because some external hard drives need like 2 USB ports, or they need to have, you know, an actual power adapter hookup and then the USB to the system. So you could potentially have this, you know, bulky USB drive next to your Wii U, and it's not quite elegant. You know?
And that leads into my biggest complaint is, and I just realized this today, that the gamepad is charged by AC adapter.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Pro Controller, same thing with the Wii unit, now same thing with an external hard drive. So you need its own, when your TV, you need another power strip just to plug in the Wii U and use it.
Yep. Yeah, I know, like, I may have to get another power strip to accommodate everything.
Because I have my power strip, I have my TV, my Blu-ray player, my 360, mm-hmm. and a lamp, so now, and my Wii, and so now I need one just for the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting, you know, like, people's response from that, if Nintendo's like, oh, yeah, we should have included a cable that, you know, charges via USB or something. Even if it's a slow charge, you know, I would still think that would be...
At least it lets people continue playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And leave it overnight to charge or something.
But luckily, the gamepad, or the game... What's the Pro Controller? Just the Pro Controller.
Yeah.
It's 80 hours, mm-hmm. so it's not like you're going to be charging it a whole lot.
Right.
But so that's a benefit, but yeah, it is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I do like, you know, with the deluxe, when you have that charging cradle, mm-hmm. that's really nice because, you know, you can have all the power stuff behind your TV or whatever, and then just have that little cradle and stick your, you know, the Wii U gamepad there to charge overnight. So that's not too bad. So it's not like you have to run the cable somewhere else. Or
yeah. And you can play the gamepad while it's charging, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. You know, there are some, you can tell Nintendo is kind of letting us down a little bit with some of that stuff, and you can tell why they waited a little bit. They're like, yeah, well, actually it's a 2 terabyte limit on the hard drive. Oh, actually, you know, you have to have it plugged into AC power. You know, there's just these little things where they're like, well, that's kind of the downsides of this tech that we've decided to use. You know, the fact that the, you know, Wii U gamepad has so much in it, it only lasts 3 to 5 hours or something, you know, but yeah, I guess the trade-off. But
luckily, though, and I'm reading a lot on NeoGAF, people are complaining about 2 terabyte drive, mm-hmm. but in reality, let's say every game was 25 gig, even though it's going to be ridiculously less. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at, what is that, 80 games or something?
What are they complaining about, 2 terabyte?
Yeah. That's plenty of space.
Yeah, I know.
So...
What are they comparing it to? Isn't the PS3 the biggest one 500 gigs?
Yeah, well, they're just saying the next generation it's going to be even bigger. Just
how a terabyte. So they said, do not lie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that is a lot of games.
But the figure they were showing out is 6 years ago, what, 120 gig was the norm for hard drives. And now we're looking at a terabyte, 2 terabytes becoming the norm. What's in 5, 6 years?
Yeah.
What's the norm going to be? But I still think 2 terabytes should be plenty.
Yeah. Even I think it could be an easy software patch, if anything.
Yeah. And they're already well ahead of the curve from when they started with the Wii. I mean, how much storage did the Wii have? 512 megabytes?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, you know, and even then, that was really small. You know, so you know, 8 and 32 gigs, that's fairly small for today's standards for built-in flash memory, but that's pretty decent. You know, you can tell that's probably cheaper for them, but I don't know. I think it'll get better as it goes along. Yeah. And even like, I mean, some people were predicting like sizes of next gen games, like being, you know, 30 gigs or 50 gigs or something. But I mean, you know, I still think that's way down the road. I mean, there's still games that are being made on PS3 and 360 that they're squeezing onto a dual-layer DVD at, you know, 9 gigabytes. So, I don't know. I guess as assets get bigger. But.
And I realized something today when I was gawking over the Wii U at work. Then I realized that the Wii U gamepad is absolutely ugly.
Yeah.
Like, it's, the design of it's just bulky. It kind of reminds me of the DS Fat.
Yeah.
And so my question is, will they come out with a slimmer version, do you think? We can go out and just buy for $80.
Yeah.
And more slimmed down, nicer gamepad in the future. Because it is absolutely, I think it's ugly.
If you just look I at actually it. Don't mind it all that much. Yeah, I think it's, I actually like the look of it personally.
I think it's bulky and square.
It's not square, it's rounded.
I mean, look when the Wiimote came out and how many confused looks everybody got with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a remote control, and there's just one giant button, there's like three smaller buttons.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world? But James, what you're talking about, I do think it would be cool in a couple years if they even give a new system that maybe gives you longer reach for the controller, you know, or small updates like that. I think that would be pretty cool. Or like a Wii U tablet that has better batteries, you know, a longer length, stuff like that. I really hope in the next 2 or 3 years we see that stuff happen.
Yeah, they just keep optimizing it, kind of like they do with the DS and 3DS.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the 3DS XL, which has much better battery life, even though it has bigger screens, and, you know, so, you know, the tech just improves every year, so.
I guess the reason I say that is, I don't know if you guys saw the Engadget article where they physically compared a tablet next to the gamepad. Like, it wasn't about the specs, it was just like, hey, look at them next to each other. I'm like, oh, that looks like a fat person.
Yeah. Granted, if you do compare them to the tablet, I agree. It doesn't aesthetically look as pleasing, but then again, you do have a comfortable, you know, grip on the side.
It's super comfortable. And
it's a lot lighter than it looks.
Yeah.
A lot lighter.
Yeah.
Well, I think the gamepad and the tablet, they serve two different purposes, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of not fair to compare them side by side. And this gamepad, it's dedicated for your games, and so it has to be designed with ergonomics for your hands and mind, where the tablet, you can prop it up on things, you can lay it in your lap, and you can make it sleeker and nicer looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so simplistic of a design, the tablet, so you can make it just, you know, slim and...
Yeah. I just got a text from Eli, who's missing, who should be here, and he says, you're bulky and square. On that note, that I feel sad about myself. I wanted to spend some time talking about the history up here on Nintendo and where we came from.
Yeah.
And some of you may not know this. Thinking the two people on the sides.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. That's my point.
I've done some research.
That's true. Yeah, I think you may. Yeah. But anyway, Justin, people may not know that we've been through a name change. What was it? 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was in 2008, I think.
Mm-hmm. So 4 years ago, we used to be called NiWiFi.net.
Mm-hmm.
What did that stand for? What did you mean by calling it Night Wi-Fi?
It stood for Nintendo Wi-Fi Utopia. So it was meant to be, I mean, this was when, you know, the DS Lite was just coming out. And so Nintendo had announced like the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection the year before. And so people were like, oh, we should have a place where we can trade friend codes. And it all sounds terribly silly now, but anyways, it was going to be a place where you could, you know, post up what your friend code was for the games, meet up on Animal Crossing, that sort of thing. So we used to have a big forum for that. And anyways, so that was the original name. But, you know, a couple years after we did that, we're like, well, maybe we should choose something more generic. And we didn't do something that was specific to the Wii like a lot of people were doing, like, you know, there are a couple sites that were like Wii Today or Wii, you know, they just put the name Wii in there. And we wanted something that we wouldn't have to change our name every time a system came out. You know, I don't know how many of you guys remember planetgamecube.com. is now Nintendo World Report. But I used to check Planet GameCube back in the day, and I was like, yeah, I don't really want to change my name, you know, the site name every, you know, 4 or 5 years. But and then I don't know if you guys remember IGN, there was a 64 page. Do you guys remember that back in the day? I used to check the 64 page. I think it was just called...
I remember when they were Game Sages.
Yeah, Game Sages was cool. But it was something like Ultra 64 or something, and then that eventually transformed into IGN. IGN bought that network or whatever. But anyways. So yeah, that was the original inspiration for the name. And if you guys wanted to, you could actually check out what the website looked like when it was Nye Wi-Fi. If you go to nyewifi.blogspot.com.
And we'll put this in the link in the post when we're done.
Yeah.
The post as a link.
So if you guys want to, you can see what, you know, news we posted about. There's some hardware sales, a DS Lite, impressions, you know, stuff like that from 2006. So.
Hey, and April Fool's is coming up. If you want to throw that on the main site and have
that, would be awesome. Oh,
that would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Throw, I remember when the Wii came out, I think it's right when you started the website, and you were like taking pictures and put it up there, and you're like, we're like, what is Justin doing? Yeah. This website? What is this?
Yeah, well, like, it was a Blogger account initially. That's why it's still live. And that was like earlier in the year in 2006. And yeah, by the time the Wii came out, we had our own domain name or something, that was nywifi.net. So anyways, but, then in 2008, and James, you started writing
2007.
Yeah.
Early.
In 2008, we're like, yeah, let's change the name. So we've gone through a few design refreshes on the website, but still been doing the Nintendo news. And I think the magazine has, you know, been our biggest thing so far of, you know, helping build the site more and getting Pure Nintendo out there more. But
yeah, some of our biggest posts was, one of them had to do with scans you got from Nintendo, actually Nintendo Power. Prince of Persia.
Yeah, Prince of Persia, it was the first, whatever the first Prince of Persia game on the Wii was. Or, yeah, I think it was a port of Two Thrones. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, we were the site to break it at that time. And I remember we got hits so much after that.
Even a year ago, we'd get like 500 hits just on that post a year after.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still on our website somewhere. It's still in our database, so you can search for it, but yeah, we got residual hits for that for, you know, 2 or 3 years. So anyways,
yeah, somehow you got your hands on the Nintendo Power like a week before everyone else.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was just posting it up. I didn't even know that people hadn't seen it or it wasn't announced. I was like, oh, I haven't heard about this. I haven't heard that Prince of Persia was coming to the Wii. So I put it up online, and I don't know how people got it. I wasn't even like talking to people or sending tips anywhere. But I don't know. Something happened. Someone posted on a forum or something. And so then the scans got out, and I don't know how I didn't get in trouble for it, but I guess I didn't care too much.
They're no more, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways. So yeah, any more history? Question.
Real quick, why the magazine? Why Pure Nintendo magazine?
Oh, why the magazine? Well, when did we start talking about it? Was it last year?
Well, you brought it up like a year and a half ago. Uh-huh. And I actually told you no, because we didn't have the manpower, because we were just right. And so I was still in school, and I think you just started working, so I was like, this sounds cool, but I don't think we could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we knew quite what we wanted to do with it initially. My original thinking was, hey, it'd be cool to have a magazine because, you know, I wanted something physical, something where you could put all the high-res, you know, art that we get, you know, because we get access to press assets and stuff. And when they give you things, it's like 4 megabyte files that are like 8,000 by 8,000 pixels, and it's like, well, why do they give us this stuff? We can't even use it on the web. Mm-hmm. So you can tell it's mostly for the benefit of newspapers, magazines that may happen to post it in their latest issue. And so I was like, it'd be really cool to do that. I wasn't even thinking about trying to compete with Nintendo Power or trying to do something different, but I was kind of just wanting it to be a complement to the website where people like my brother who has two kids now and doesn't really check the Nintendo news all the time, there he's interested in it, he likes hearing that new game's out, the new Mario Galaxy's out, that sort of stuff, but may not need the daily news that we report on all the time. So the magazine's perfect for him because he can get the magazine on a bi-monthly basis. He can read through it. He can see all the latest stuff, and he can catch reviews for games that he may not have known were out. Or so, anyways, I think it's just a nice format. Even if it's in digital, I still think the magazine format's just a nice. It's just better than a website in some ways, I think.
Yeah. Right, I want to go to. Matt, what are you drinking? It looks like you're taking shots.
I swear. I got the leaf right in my hand.
Shots of water.
Yeah. It's just so quick. It's like.
I get really nervous when I do podcasts, so I just.
Nice. Any more history anyone can think of or have questions about?
Yeah,
we have a long history, pushing 6 years.
Yeah, we've been doing it a while. But we could talk about the Wii launch. Share our memories. Each of us start with Alex and what you did for the Wii launch and what we're planning on doing for the Wii U launch. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years.
Oh, I know, definitely. So what I did for Wii launch, I lived in the middle of nowhere. I still kind of do. So the only way that I could either go to Walmart or GameStop, I literally had to drive 45 minutes to go to a Walmart or a GameStop. And so this was in LJ, Georgia. And so my friend and I found out.
Nowhere.
Yes.
I've been.
We knew it was coming out for launch, and so we're like, we don't have it pre-ordered, but I got the money. I'd love to get the system. And so we thought, we're going to chance it. We're going to drive out there. We're going to go to Walmart. And so we did the 45-minute drive, and we got there about maybe, 3 hours before the launch. Mm-hmm. And they had us all lined up. There was a whole bunch of people already lined up for it. And they announced that they only had it was 24 Wii systems that they were going to sell that night. And I got my spot in line, and they handed us out the tickets to tell you what number you had. And I was number 21 of 24.
Nice.
And so I was like, yes. And so basically there was a whole bunch of, Nintendo fans there. So we all had our DSs. And so we spent that time just playing like Mario Kart over wireless, just talking and having a good time. And trying to shoo people away or trying to buy my spot off of me. I was like, no, go away. This is mine. You cannot have it. Then I went to GameStop immediately after I got the system, and I banged on their doors to give me a Twilight Princess because I had it pre-ordered like 2 years in advance. I was so excited.
As did I.
Had like 2.5 years in advance.
I actually canceled at GameStop. And you're like, I'm just going to get it when I pick up the Wii.
Yeah.
I should have done that, but I didn't. So like I ran over there because they were right across from Walmart. And I think they were just like locking up. And I was like, hey, let me in. Yeah. So I forced them like to reopen it up just to check me out so I could get the game.
Nice.
Then I stayed up all night and I played it, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something magical about like the first time you boot up like a brand new system. Mm-hmm. It's like you're exploring like the unknown. So it's that you're just like, holy cow! Like I'm pointing with this remote at the screen. Just the motion control is really mind blowing. They seem kind of cheesy now, but if you put yourself back into that spot 6 years ago, it was really something cool and interesting and new.
Yeah, because I had a friend, Nick, over at my house, and we literally played Wii Sports for the first, like, 3 or 4 hours, then went to sleep for 4 or 5 hours, woke up and played more Wii Sports.
Yeah.
That's all we played for, like, 2 days is Wii Sports.
Yeah.
And then I hope he's not watching now, because I couldn't wait for him to go home because I was ready to dive into Twilight Princess. But I felt bad playing it with him there. And so it was a relief when he left.
Yeah. Well, James, tell our story. We were at the same place.
Yeah, we were. It wasn't fun. It started, I went up to stay with Justin that weekend. I think I stayed with you that night before, Friday night.
Yeah.
It was Nick and I.
Yeah.
And then we hung out all Saturday. We went to Walmart about 5? Was it 5:30?
Yeah, it was something like that. We tried to get there really early.
Yeah, we were waiting in line. There was this nice old lady. She was there for a grandson, which was nice. And there was another guy in front of us. So we were like 3rd and 4th at Walmart.
Yeah.
And about after an hour and a half, they kicked us out because we were sitting at the layaway section
mm-hmm.
in the back. And they kicked us out saying, it's not going to be here. We're not handing out the tickets, the 25 tickets they ended up having for it, or passes, or whatever you want to call them. And so, like, oh, we'll announce it at 8:30, what's going to happen. So we were waiting around for an hour or 2 hours, hanging out at Walmart, like bums, like high school students, hanging out, chilling at Walmart. And 8:30, we hear over the loudspeaker saying, for people who are going to pre-order the, or pick up pre-orders for the Wii, you get the automotive. And all of a sudden, it seems like thousands of people just come out of all corners of Walmart and start running to the section.
Yeah.
And there was, what, 8 of us at the time? Oh, we're getting it, and only one of us made it into that top 25.
Yeah,
it was. And that was actually Kevin's. Kevin's was out of the country.
Yeah,
and some guy bought it for him.
So Kevin, I was in another country, got my Wii before these guys.
Yeah, crazy. So I've never seen something like that though. Like, I mean, it's kind of what I imagine maybe Black Friday is like when people rush into a store.
It was weird. It didn't seem like there was a lot of people there. Then all of a sudden when they announced it, people just came from nowhere.
Yeah, like people were like, you know, like randomly, yeah, I'm interested in this. And then it like dropped everything and just.
You know. I almost knocked over an old lady because I was running across the store and spin around her.
I tried to knock people over. Yeah, it was crazy. There was no way we could have made it in time either. We got there. We were like 40th in line, something like that.
Oh, yeah, and Eli got one, too, so there's two of us.
Yeah, Seth and Eli. Well, what we did was we split up. You know, some of us were thinking, oh, they'll sell it in electronics still. They're just trying to, you know, weed out the line or something. And then some of us are like, well, we're going to be on this side of Walmart in case they sell it over here and, you know, happen to be near the automotive, and so they got, like, you know, really close there.
And then the nice story out of that is a guy gave up his spot for that old lady that was there since the morning. So that was
she was waiting there all day. That was the thing that sucked about.
Yeah, she was there like 9 or 10 o'clock that morning waiting there.
Yeah. So, you know, it was pretty dumb of Walmart to be like, yeah, you know, free for all.
Well, it seems like that would be worse for the store. You're just creating chaos that way.
Yeah. It's like you're going to sell them no matter what, so why create the chaos?
You know?
So, anyways, go on.
Long story short, we ended up at Target waiting all night in the freezing cold.
Yep.
And got it 8 o'clock that next morning. We were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Yeah. In fact, we went to Target. So after, you know, we couldn't get it at Walmart, we drove to like another Walmart that was nearby, you know, 20 minutes away or something. And there was a bunch of people there and they were sitting in a line. You know, granted they may have done the same thing and, you know, announced where it was going to be and everyone was sitting there now. But, so we went down to Target and they were still open. It was like before 10 and they're like, oh, are you guys want the Wii? And they're like, you could be the first person in line. And they pulled out this sign and it said, you know, this line for the Wii starts here. And so they put it outside, you know, because they were closing up the store, and they're like, you guys are first in line. And they're like, we'll see you in the morning at 8. So we basically, we went over to James's house, and
Got all the warm clothes I could find. And
yeah.
Literally put them in bags.
Yeah. I mean, because it was pretty cold that night. It was probably in the 30s.
Because none of you guys had anything. Because we came straight from Walmart. Yeah. Straight down there. And so no one had anything warm.
Yeah. So we got just a ton of stuff. And it ended up working out because there were like four of us, right? It was you, me, Brandon, and Nick.
Was there someone and else? Then there was one more. The other guy that used to work with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's his name?
Hopefully he's not watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Steven.
Steven, that's who it was.
Yeah. Yeah, Steven Jameson. Anyways, yeah, so that was fun. We were able to hang out. And so, like, most of the night we just played the DS. And so that was cool. And then we got the system the next morning.
Yeah. I remember there was talk that Target and stuff would hand out drinks and stuff during the morning launch, and they did hand out drinks. A glass full of iced Coke when it was 30 degrees outside. We're sitting there like, thank you. Yeah. Shaking. I was like, with my coffee or hot cocoa or something.
I know. Yeah, and it was so cold. Anyways, Kevin, we know your story. You were out of town.
But the guy that got it for me said if he didn't get it at Walmart, he wasn't going to wait at Target.
Yeah. So
I think it was awesome that he was able to get it at Walmart, because I probably wouldn't have gotten one until, you know, a month or two later.
Because they were so scarce that, I mean, through the holidays. I mean, even until, like, March.
Yeah, which is crazy because in my mind, I don't know if I thought it'd be sold out that much. I just figured I'd have someone pick it up on launch. But, man, it worked out perfectly. I would have been so mad if I got back in the States and didn't have a Wii.
Yep. Yep. So, Matt, what's your story?
I don't know. I feel ashamed now because my story has none of the heroism that.
we dramatized ours a bit. But
I just happen to know people who were lucky enough to come across the stalkers who happen to have a Wii in their hand, and I just get a phone call saying, hey, there's Wiis here. You want one? That's how I got it.
Nice.
Yeah. I just sat back and fate gave me a Wii.
Yeah. So you didn't do like a day one thing?
No, I didn't do a day one thing at all. I think at that point, I mean, the GameCube kind of burned me pretty badly there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little bit skeptical of what's going on because I saw the Wii remote and I saw the Wii was going on. And I'm like, I don't know here. And they weren't launching with like a Mario core title.
Huh.
But I mean, the opportunity came up. I bought it. There you go.
Nice.
A lot of Wii tennis, specifically in Wii Sports.
Yeah, and tennis was awesome. A lot of fun. Yeah.
I want to go around and get to know us a little bit, because this is kind of an off week, because we weren't supposed to do this podcast. But it's our last minute to do it.
We're doing it anyway.
We're doing it anyway, because I can't, because I do James things.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to start and what is your favorite video game of all time or franchise of all time? I want to start with Alex because he has stuff for us.
Oh boy, yeah, I'm gonna do show and tell. Well, first of all I have to do is stand up, and you'll find out what my favorite game series is.
Yes. So
let's see the delayed. Oh, I can't see my image. Can you see the Zelda shirt? There it is.
Yeah.
Yes, Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Absolute favorite gaming series. My favorite one out of the series is Link's Awakening. Probably because it was my first one, but when I look back on it, I think it had one of the most like unique stories in the timeline. Maybe it just kind of deviated a little bit. It didn't have like Ganon and Zelda in it. There was just something like mysterious and really cool about the story and Koholint Island that I really liked. So that one will always be like my favorite Zelda, I think.
Is that how you pronounce the island's name?
Yeah, Koholint Island.
Koholint. I don't say coconut.
Yeah, I was like coconut, Kalink Island.
Well, that's how I pronounce it. Hopefully, I'm right. I could have just like killed my credibility there, but no, that's how I pronounced it.
That's how I'll start pronouncing it. So
yeah,
there we go. I said it very like assuredly. So
yeah,
I'll keep the official confidence there.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're wrong, we'll change it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I have this little shrine in my room. I'm not at my house right now. I'm visiting my parents this Wednesday and Thursday. But I brought some of the games that I have. I have like all the Zelda games like boxed and complete, and awesome. So like one day when I have like grandkids and they're like, "Grandpa, what's a Zelda?" I'm gonna be like, "Well, here, we're gonna go to the Zelda room where we're gonna play some Zelda." So
yes,
you'll be like, you start from the beginning and don't stop till you finish the series.
Exactly.
You don't talk to me till you're done.
Exactly.
What kind of dark future is this where the kids have to ask what Zelda is?
Yeah, I really hope that's. Yeah.
I hope not, but this is I'm preserving the future here. Yeah, yeah. So I guess I'll start with like probably my favorite piece. I have like a boxed Game and Watch for the original Zelda.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's neat. That's just the box right there, and then the system is really neat here. You got some dragons on there, Moblins, Staphlos, and Poe. Nice. And I'll open it up here, and you can kind of see the Game and Watch. These were like the very first handhelds. I think this one came out around 87 or 88. I'm not sure. But you can see how like the design of it really influenced the DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember the prototype for the DS, man, it was spot on like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, fun fact, this game probably has the only item that's never appeared in another Zelda game. There's an item in here called the Tomahawk that you can use to defeat the dragon boss really easily. So that's very cool. And then another thing that's also really neat, they actually made a physical watch that you could wear with a little mini Zelda dungeon crawler. Cool. So that's the box for it.
Awesome.
It's got some of the original artwork from the original NES. And then I need to get new batteries for this watch, but there's a little game that you play on there. You just run through like a mini dungeon.
Cool.
That's silly, but cool. I would totally wear it if I had another one. I'm too afraid to take this one out in public and mess it up or anything. And then two more games, and then I'll spare you from my Zelda obsession. A lot of people might know, but there was actually two games released for the DS starring Tingle. And I'm not even kidding, but the title is called Freshly Picked Tingle's Rosy Ruby Land. And obviously this never came out in America because most people don't like Tingle, but it came out in Europe and Japan, and they made a sequel, which I also have. But just take a look at like the European like DS box, how like thicker it is. Huh. I really wish they kind of did that with the American one.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like the bulk of it. And then I think it's even scarier is like the sequel. This one only came out in Japan, but the box art is even scarier.
Oh goodness!
Wow. Just so nice.
The first one was kind of like an RPG involving rupees, and in this one, you're almost—I don't want to say like seducing women, but you're like befriending them, so it's kind of creepier. And I have to show you the back just because like this is the greatest like box art ever. It's super buff Tingle.
I don't see it.
Yeah,
but oh,
lag.
A
little lower.
I got the lag here, so I can't really line it up. That right there is amazing. I want that as my wallpaper. My computer.
He's wearing like a Speedo or something. That's
that's like what would be a good anime of Tingle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man.
So yeah, there's just a few things from my collection I thought I'd share. So I'm done being a fanboy.
Don't you stop.
Oh, never.
Yeah. James, you go.
Me go. Well, my favorite game of all time probably has to be Mario Brothers 3.
Mm.
It's probably the game even counting all the Zelda games, like I probably spent the most time in Mario Brothers 3 as a kid. Yeah. Even to this day, I can probably go through the first two worlds with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you can't save, so I played that first two worlds millions of times. Yeah.
Isn't that a Mario Brothers 3 hoodie you're wearing?
It is actually a Mario Brothers 3 hoodie I'm wearing.
There we go.
Nice.
By chance, I didn't plan this.
Can we record that of you going through the first two worlds with your eyes closed?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
We need a camera pointed at James and then another one at the TV screen.
Hey. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, James. What was your franchise you were saying?
Well, that was it. Like, that was, this is my favorite game of all time.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite franchise?
Thinking.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I guess I have to go with Zelda.
Yeah.
Because yes. I would go with Mario, but I don't like all the Mario games necessarily. I don't love all the Mario games.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you referring to, James?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Just leave it at that.
All right. That's like a Justin go.
Yeah. Get me out of this hole.
Yeah. My most favorite game of all time, it's really hard to narrow one down, but I think probably Metroid Prime is my favorite of all time. There's plenty of games, you know, for the original systems that are awesome. And I grew up playing the NES and Legend of Zelda, and, you know, Mario Brothers 3, played tons of hours in that too. But I don't know, Metroid Prime was, it was the first 3D game. I mean, 64 games had atmosphere, I guess. You know, Mario 64 was amazing to play for the first time. But I think, you know, I didn't understand how atmospheric, you know, a game could be until I played Metroid Prime. I mean, everything from the music, the level design is incredible. I mean, the gameplay is awesome in Metroid Prime. And the visuals and just, I mean, the little touches that they did. Like, you're walking down a corridor and there's some mist that's coming out of a pipe and it fogs up your visor. I mean, just little touches like that. Or, you know, you go down to the planet for the first time and you look up in the sky when it's raining and you get those droplets on your visor. I mean, that stuff is just, it's just awesome. I can't say it enough.
Yeah, it puts you into the world.
Yeah, yeah. It was just so, and yeah, and the music, I think the music just did it so well too. Like, everywhere you went, I mean, you felt like you were in the world, really. I mean, that may be cliche, but, you know, it was a very immersive game, I thought, and maybe one of the first to do that really well, I think. Anyways, I don't think the Metroid franchise is my favorite franchise, though. I think I would probably say Zelda. I know we've all said Zelda, but I think Zelda's consistently, you know, every single game, they're just really good adventure games. And, you know, there's never been a game that's, you know, come close, I think, to, you know, some people compare Darksiders to it a little bit, but, you know, Zelda is Zelda, you know. You know, it's hard to say it's just an adventure game. You know, it's hard to say it's a, you know, an American RPG. You know, it's just Zelda, you know. Anyways, and I think it established, you know, whole genres of its own that we have now, and targeting systems and everything. It's influenced games for years and years. But anyways, so those would be my two picks.
Kevin?
Well, I'm going to hate to go with the same trend, but my favorite game of all time is, in fact, a Zelda game, but it's Majora's Mask. And the only one of the main reasons for it was the first game I ever felt like the world was alive. The mm-hmm. characters in it, I felt like they were going about their own business. The mask quest, going to help different people, and how when you help them, it changes what they do, how they respond to people. It was the first time I ever felt like a video game was a true living, breathing world that I felt like when I turned it off, things are still happening in there. And that sounds ridiculous. Yeah. But even today, very few games have been able to match that sort of feeling for me that Majora's Mask had. Do you guys play Majora's Mask?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Got it. Two copies.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is it me, or was the quest with Andrew and Cafe getting them together, was that not like the saddest moment in like video gaming history?
I got a tear.
Exactly.
And it has so many of those moments too.
Oh yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
Well, and just the variety of masks and how different characters respond to different masks. Like, there's even something I was reading on a NeoGAF forum that if you wear this mask in front of certain characters, they respond this way. And I was like, I never knew that. And you wouldn't knew that. You wouldn't know that unless you constantly explored and tried different things. And that's why I love that game so much. It's just, there's just so much variety in it. Just, but, yeah. And so that's my favorite game. Probably my favorite franchise is Zelda, but
nothing wrong with that.
No.
Matt?
Kevin took my answer. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll stick with Majora's Mask too. It was just, at that point, that was the, you know, deepest Zelda game I've played yet. And it just seemed like it wasn't I mean, there was heavy action, but it's just like that wasn't the biggest focus. It was like these people's lives as this moon was coming closer to the town and just like the sense of doom that was overwhelming. And, you know, even though you went back in time, it was just like that main thing. It was like, that moon is going to crash and everybody's just going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were talking about that Angie thing as a side note. I always found it fun to, like, when I got all the masks, I turn around, go back to day one, do the whole Kifei and Angie quest again, get them reunited, and then go stop the moon.
Yes.
That
gotta save them.
Reunited, the moon has stopped. I was like, to me, that's the best ending right there.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And then, you know, Link goes off from the woods, and according to people, he becomes a Stalfos.
Yeah.
Very nice. Real quick, favorite movie of all time. Alex, go.
Favorite movie? Oh, man. You should do that to me.
Go.
Scott Pilgrim. We're just going to do that one.
Wow. Justin.
I love it.
Gladiator.
Kevin.
I don't know. Come back to me.
This is difficult. No.
This is like the lightning round.
Yeah.
Matt?
Seven Samurai.
Kevin.
James.
Can I change my answer?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original. Not Charlie. Nice. Willy.
Gene Wilder all the way.
Yeah.
Can I change my answer, though? Because I was kind of on the spot here. I'm going to go with Jurassic Park instead. Oh, Jurassic Park was amazing.
That is good. That is good.
Because I'm going to think about that as my favorite movie now.
Sorry, dude. You can go with Scott Pilgrim if you want, though. That's free again.
I'd probably end up going with Return of the Jedi.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Nice.
All right, there's two more things I want to discuss. Well, ask you guys. What are some of your gaming traditions? And I'm basically, right now I'm talking about, I have this weird tradition the last few consoles, actually, I only two. And when I get the new one, I box up the old one before I even open the new one. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I got the Wii, I got home, boxed up my GameCube, put it up, then open up the Wii. It's going to be a little different now because I'm traveling 6 hours to hang out with you guys. Yeah. So I want to box up my Wii before I leave because I'm not going to be one to take that time when I get back. But that's just one of my weird gaming traditions that I do.
Oh, man. Does that mean I have to answer next?
Anyone. Just jump in.
I was going to say, because I'm probably going to be the most boring one. I don't really have like a gaming ritual, I guess, when it comes to like a new console or anything like that. I mean, when I get a new game, this may sound like totally weird, but like when I open the case, I like to like smell it because I like the smell of like the fresh game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who does?
Okay, I'm not the only
one. I agree that. That's weird.
No, never mind. We all knew that anyways. But, so after my weird little smell test there, I like to read the manual and then pop the game in and spend a couple of hours with it. But that's really it. And I'm pretty boring when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah, I actually sort of what Alex did with the manual. I always do this, especially with games and systems. It's like now that I have the system, I like to even suffer a little bit longer. Instead of playing it, I read through some of the manuals just to, not necessarily to learn about it. It's just there's something about it being so close that it's that sweet suffering right before, you know, the calm before the storm. And that I love manuals. Like when I unbox systems, I just slowly unbox it. I kind of lay everything out on the ground. I just kind of take it all in.
And like some Bob Marley in the background or Marvin Gaye.
No, but actually there's something about that I really like, just taking in everything before the game is even in. And I know that sounds retarded.
No, I've heard you complain a lot recently that the pamphlets are getting smaller. There's not a lot to read.
I love manuals, like just reading about them. That's why I hope if they go away that you start getting a Wii gamepad manual that you can read while things are loading, or just have, you know, a 10-page thing that you can surf through on your gamepad. Because I love manuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother debate, whether they should get rid of manuals or not.
Yeah.
We won't open that can of worms.
It would get very dark in here.
Yeah. Matt or Justin?
So, you know, most of my systems are Nintendo systems, so this will be a Nintendo-centric one. I'll break out the new system, I'll play it a little bit, and then I'll stop, and then I'll pull out the NES that I still have, still works, play, you know, a flagship Mario title, go up to the Super Nintendo, play Super Mario World 64, Super Mario 64, you know, GameCube, Sunshine, all the way up, and just kind of watch that progression.
That's an awesome idea.
I was going to say that is awesome. Really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so far that's the best ritual right there. Right?
I want to do that right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I have much of a ritual per se that I do. I do like to unbox it slow, like Kevin was saying, where it's like you almost – it's cool getting together and playing with friends, like with the Wii and everything, but sometimes you need to be you just need to be alone with it.
Coming from a married man now.
Yeah. Yeah, dim the lights, put on some candles, some nice music. No.
Yeah. But like you need to, I don't know, like James was saying with Twilight Princess. You know, it's fun to play Wii Sports for a while, but you need to like I don't know, it's the same way when you get a game and when I get a video game, you know. It's hard when you have friends over as soon as you get a video game for the first time, and then you have to like play it like on the spot for them. So, you know, you're trying to figure out the game or you're trying to do something and you're fumbling around or something or checking the manual or whatever. I don't know. It's just kind of nice to have that, that security. You're just playing it yourself and figuring out the world, and you don't have someone like, oh, I think you're supposed to go over there. And you're like, oh yeah, I was gonna figure that out. You know, that sort of a thing.
And I agree with that. Another thing that's it's always difficult when you get a new system, because everyone wants to play. Obviously, if you have friends over, and it's like they're getting these experiences. And if you're on the off, you're not playing that round. It's like, well, I kind of wish I was a part of that, but instead I'm just watching that. And you know, no one's there to blame. You can't blame anyone, but it's just kind of like, all right, that's cool.
What I'm hearing is Kevin's going to be like, get out of my house Saturday night. Go away.
If you're talking about this, James, I don't think that at all. But I have thought about, like, when I get the system, because I figure if we play, we'll be playing mine since it's my house. It's like, how far do I set up the Wii before I start playing? Do I want to go through all the menus? Do I want to set up my Mii? Do I want to... Or are we just going to dive into, like, a zombie U game?
We'll leave that to you, because it is yours. That would be your decision.
Yeah, I would get my network ID, Nintendo network ID first, and do all that. Get the system update, and we'll play around with the system. We've waited this long. We can play around with the UI and stuff.
Yeah, you gotta explore everything. I always like to click all of, like, the little options on the menu before I go right into a game.
Yeah. Remember the weed, some of the hidden stuff, like the cat on the photo channel and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things. I hope there's some of those small little touches that, I don't know, I love discovering that stuff.
Yeah, and the 3DS, or no, the DSi, when it had the camera, it had like the parrot would do stuff in the photo or the sound editing thing. So, I just thought of another thing. As far as gaming rituals, I've only done this with the GameCube, and I think I'll do it with the Wii U. But when the GameCube came out, I felt like it was such a big leap graphically from the 64 to the GameCube, I think. you know, from the GameCube to the Wii wasn't that big. You know, it was a decent, you know, things looked a little more polished, I guess. But, you know, to be honest, it wasn't that big of a graphical leap. So when I got the GameCube, I actually did kind of what Matt did, and I went back to a 64 game and played like Perfect Dark, Majora's Mask, because those came out towards the end of the life of the 64. And just to experience those again so I could greater appreciate the graphics on the GameCube. It's like, oh man, the GameCube really is, you know, so much better, you know, visually. And I think that with this one, you know, the Wii to the Wii U is a pretty big leap, I think, graphically. So, I don't know. I could see myself playing some Wii games over just to experience them again, and then going back to the Wii U, be like, oh man, this is awesome. So, anyway.
All right, now that the Wii U is in 3 days, 3 full days away.
Yeah.
Have you guys nailed down your day one purchases? Like, what games are you picking up?
Don't ask me that question.
Yes, I think I have, James.
All right, Kevin, go.
Well, I've actually already bought an Assassin's Creed from Amazon.
Nice.
You should get that soon, then.
Yeah, it's actually coming in on Saturday. It says Saturday at noon, it's expected. So that's nice. Mario, mm-hmm. Zombie U, and Call of Duty.
Nice.
Anyone else? Money's really tight for me, so I'm just going to be getting the system and Mario right now, and then I'll be saving up for some other things.
Yeah, all of mine's going on my Best Buy credit card. I have like 12 months to pay it off. I'll let future me worry about it.
Yeah,
there you go.
So what do you
have, future James?
I keep changing. Like today, I've changed to I want to get Zombie U. I'm gonna get Call of Duty. I only want to get 3 games at first. There's no reason to get 4 or 5. But I keep switching between Mario. I keep going back to Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
Was my third one. I switched to today. My third one's still up in the air.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? I know you may not get it at launch, but what games would you get?
I mean, I definitely go with that Mario. I want to try out Zombie U. That looks really interesting. I like the idea, the integration with the gamepad and the control pad. So I want to see how they do that. Mm-hmm. Mario is just. It's Mario, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong. And by all looks and appearances and, you know, impressions, it looks awesome. I mean, some of the new challenge modes that they have in there, even like the coin rush mode that they've had in other games, you know, now you can, like, you know, set the coin layout, and I mean, that stuff's really cool. And then all the challenges, I don't know, did you guys see the one where you have to keep a Monty Mole on a raft?
Mm-hmm.
Through an entire level. So the challenge is you can't kill him. So you get on one of those rafts, like from New Super Mario Brothers Wii, that's going through the acid or whatever, the poison, and you have to keep the Monty Mole. He keeps chasing you left to right, you know. So you have to keep jumping over him and avoiding killing him while other enemies are getting on the platform and all that, and you have to take him all the way through the level and get him to the flag at the end.
And isn't that the one where if you have too many enemies on the raft, it stops?
Yeah, exactly.
Those levels.
So you're trying to kill, like, enemies as they're dropping, and it's really hard not to jump on the Monty Mole as well. Yeah. So, anyways, it looks really cool, some of the challenges they're doing.
I like the ones where you have to, like, how many enemies you can kill on the same jump. It's, yeah, like, touching the ground. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it's stuff like that. I mean, because speed runs are okay for a little while, you know, doing the challenge speed runs and just trying to get through the level fast. But, you know, you don't get to enjoy the nuances of the platforming then. You know, all you're doing is, okay, I know my speed is this, so my speed is set if I just keep running, and then you're just timing your jumps. So you're not even worrying about, you know, jumping and doing a twist in order to make it over to hop on this shell, and then doing another jump and twist to get over on a Goomba, that sort of a thing. So I think it's going to add a lot of replayability to it. And then I think launch games for me, I'm probably going to get like 5 or 6 of them. But I'm thinking Mario Brothers U, Zombie U, Assassin's Creed 3,
Call of Duty?
Yeah, Call of Duty. I'm forgetting some of the other ones. I mean, those are the main four.
Are you getting like Batman or Mass Effect?
Darksiders 2, for sure. Yeah, I think that's about it. I want to get Scribblenauts Unlimited eventually as well, because I think that'll be a lot, lots of fun. I think Katie will like playing that. And any co-op games, but the Sonic Racing game actually looked interesting in its most recent trailer. Anyways, I don't know. Do you guys like the quality of games that are at launch? I know there's more games than the Wii had at launch, but do you think there's better games this time around?
It's enough to get me through. Like, just getting Zombie U, and like if I get Epic Mickey and Call of Duty, that will get me the next couple months, and then I can get Assassin's Creed during like the Christmas haul time, and then that can get me through a little longer. It's enough to get me through.
Yeah, I agree, James, because there's like five games I absolutely want to get, and then I could see me getting another five games if there was nothing else to play. Like, there's plenty to hold me over till, you know, Pikmin or Monster Hunter or something like that. So I think for me, it's actually an exceptional launch lineup for my personality.
Yeah.
It is better than a 3DS, because I think I got...
Yeah.
I get along? I got Nintendo.
Wild Wings Resort.
And Street Fighter, and that's all I played for like a month and a half, on and off.
Yeah, until Zelda came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that was a remake, that Zelda that came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the lineup's great, and, you know, to me, it has a lot of variety in the length of game, because, you know, Darksiders 2 is about, you know, 20, 25-hour game. Assassin's Creed 3, they say, is like a 25-hour game, something like that. So you have some really big, you know, meaty games there at launch. You know, Nintendo Land will be fun. You know, we'll probably play that for hours and hours. And Mario Brothers U for sure. But we'll be able to beat Mario Brothers in, you know, probably 6 hours or something like that for a full playthrough. So I'm glad that they have, you know, both ends of the spectrum. You know, they have really deep, engaging games that I think will be really good. And then they've got, you know, tons of good multiplayer and party games. So,
right, awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to end this podcast to find out what you guys have been playing recently. All podcasts like then like this. But what are you guys playing to get ready to finish up for the Wii? Are you finishing up Wii games, finishing up some 3DS games? What are you guys playing this week? Ouch.
I'm trying to rush through Pokemon White 2. I got to get the 6th gym badge, so I'm getting there, but that one has been eating up all my time, because I'm really big onto that series, so that one is always a big time sink for me. Yeah. I've been having a blast with it.
Justin?
Yep, I'm going to have to side with Alex on that one, too. He's probably a little bit ahead of me now, but I'm playing through Black 2 right now, and I don't know, it's just a... It's a good relaxing game. I can play it while watching something, and so I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. So I'm trying to play through that, and Rayman Origins on the 3DS. Trying to get a review out for that soon. Xenoblade. I'm like 60 hours in. I've almost beaten it. And Last Story. I'm about 10 hours in, something like that. So it would be really good to finish some of those, but I doubt I can do it in 3 days. Anyways, so just some 3DS, DS games.
Kevin?
I was supposed to be well on my way to the Paper Mario, but I haven't gotten that yet. I've been stuck on actually Kingdom Hearts. That game's taken me a little longer just because I haven't been playing it in huge chunks of time, but so far, that's a pretty good time sink for me, just running around wasting time on that game.
Yeah.
I'm actually going through 2 right now. I'm playing through Mega Man Legends 2 on the hardest difficulty.
Oh.
And then me being the game masochist that I apparently am also playing through Super Mario Lost Levels.
May God have mercy on your soul.
I beat it once, but I need to beat it again to make sure it's not a fluke.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to prove yourself, your younger self to your older self, sort of thing.
Oh, at this point, I know that I'm better than my younger self. Years ago, there was some doubt when I was starting to pick up the old school platformers again. I was like, wow, I used to be good, but now I suck.
Yeah.
I beat Lost Levels, I'd say about 6 months ago, and those levels get obscenely hard. I was with my friend, and I mean, I really get into games, like when they get really hard. Mm-hmm. So it's me and my friend here at my apartment, and I, for whatever reason, it crossed my mind. I was like, hey, get on the computer, pull up Danger Zone from Top Gun. We're being spotted right now. And like, every time there's this just difficult jump over lava, we just yell Danger Zone as loud as we could. My other roommates would come in, and we just all start yelling Danger Zone.
Uh-huh. Nice. Awesome. If you're looking for a punishing game, you should play the original TMNT on the NES.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And try and play through it without dying.
Or using Donatello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know.
That river, the dam level.
Oh yeah.
It was so difficult. Yeah. That's what stopped so many people. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, and then I mean. The dam level isn't even the hardest one.
I know. That's the worst part.
I like it. When you get into the, you know, if you can get past the airport and you get in those areas with the conveyor belts and the electricity everywhere, oh, goodness. It's like the dam on steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways,
play that again.
I've been finishing up some reviews playing Wreck-It Ralph for the 3DS.
Nice.
I'm playing Transformers Prime, which is absolutely horrible. I'm going to say it here. It's horrible. Well, and playing some other non-Nintendo games that we won't talk about here.
Oh, what's that, James? You didn't play Assassin's Creed, did you?
No.
Good.
The game that came out a week after that.
Halo.
Yes, I've been playing a lot of Halo.
Uh-huh. That's all right. You got to clean your system. When it comes out.
Well, I guess that's a wrap. That's over an hour for our second podcast. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And our next one, where I guess would possibly be Tuesday. You guys better have Tuesday because Wednesday's Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. Yeah, Tuesday would be good.
Tuesday at 8 o'clock will be on podcast number 3.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And that we'll have all first impressions of having what the Wii for. Were you for 3 days, 2 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll be able to talk more about that.
Definitely.
Right, until
the exclusive point of view of the guy who is jealous of all these other people who are playing the Wii U, and he's just
we'll have Matt moderate it. He would just
be like, "All right, calm down."
Yeah, he'll have it. He'll keep us in check. All right, Justin, it's not that good.
Guys, I think we're going over. We've only been going for 10 minutes.
Yep. Nice.
All right, until next time.
All right, see you guys.
See ya.
Goodbye, Internet.
See ya.